straight at night. And in their pain began to sing, their chains were loose and they were free. I bless your name. I give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. Some midnight hour, if you should find you're in the presence in your mind, reach out and praise. Defies those chains and you will fall in Jesus' name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless you, Lord. Yes. Amen. I give you praise. You are light, the truth, the way. Your name. So if you find that in your life you're in the midst of time so high, reach out by faith to heights unknown. Your name, yes, Lord. I give you honor. I give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. So if you find that in your life you're in the midst of time so hard, reach out by faith to heights unknown. You will find you're not. I bless your name.
Hallelujah.
I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. You are the light.
You are
the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless.
Let's bow our heads, saints. Father, we've come upon this evening, Lord, because we just want to bless your name, Lord. We just want to thank you that you are who you are. Father, we want to appreciate that you are who you are to us. We want to thank you, Lord, that you always meet us in our point of need. We want to thank you, Lord, that your grace is more than sufficient for us. We want to thank you, Lord, Father, that you've given us a chance once again to come unto thee upon this evening, Lord. Father, just to wait upon thee. Father, you said, they that wait shall renew their strength. How wonderful, Lord, your promises are. How true that you are to your word. Father, for prayer requests that have been given, we dedicate them up unto thee once again to ask and pray that you just meet that every need. Father, for every testimony, we thank you for it. For every Father, brother and sister that's come out tonight, we pray your blessing upon them, Lord. Won't you be with us now, Father, as we wait upon thee upon this evening. Thank you for song worship. Thank you for an opportunity to express ourselves to you, Lord. You be glorified, you praise. So open up your word, bless your word unto us, guide us, Lord. Fellowship with us along the way. Father, let your will be done, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Saints, would you greet you this evening in Jesus' name?
Hallelujah.
Let's open the book of Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, we'll take a scripture reading from there. We just want to speak this evening to maybe just start something on the message of grace. You know, we had a look a few weeks back at love, agape love. And the prophet says that grace and love are twin sisters. So we just want to have a look a little bit at grace this evening. Really, what is grace? Paul tells us in Hebrews 4, verse 16, this gracious invitation that the Lord gives unto us. He's just spoken about Christ being the great high priest. Then he says in verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated, saints. Now the Bible, the prophet says, right from the beginning to the end is the book of grace. Because the Bible is the book of redemption. And redemption, anything to do with redemption, is absolutely grace. There's nothing in the work of redemption that man is involved in. You know, right from when the book was in the hands of him that sat on the throne, it was clear right from there that there was no man worthy even to look upon the book. No man worthy to take the book. But it was grace that stepped in. You know, so redemption, right from the beginning, right to the end, it's a work of grace. So there's something really, really wonderful about this issue of grace. Now the prophet, he speaks in the message of grace, and he says, think of it. Love and grace is sisters. Twin sisters. You can't have grace without having love. They're twin sisters. That's exactly right. Before you can have grace, you have to have love. Before you can actually show somebody a favor, you love them. Whether they're right or wrong, you have to love them anyhow, or you can't. You see, so love and grace, it's the same thing. They're just twin sisters. We can't see one without seeing the other. So the moment that you see in your life, or you see around you, in the lives of people around you, a manifestation of grace, you know that God has bestowed his love. Because God's grace is always bestowed after he loves somebody. If God loves you, it's natural that he's going to show you grace. You know, because if you go right to the beginning, if God just loved us, we would have still died in sin. Because love in itself isn't enough. The prophet says, but when love is projected, then sovereign grace takes its place. So now sovereign grace steps in. If God loves you, he's going to set his love upon you. And the result, when God projects that love to you, grace is going to visit you. And grace is God's divine favor. That's what it is. When you find favor in the eyes of God, when God, for some reason, desires to bless you, he desires to save you, he desires to visit you, he desires to do something for you to meet your need, that's what grace is. That's why the prophet says grace is unmerited favor. Because you'll find out with grace, you cannot buy grace. Grace is without money and without price. Grace is sovereign grace. Grace is bestowed. God bestows grace upon whom he desires to bestow grace. No, it's sovereign. This entire plan of redemption, you may look at yourself and say, but why has God set his favor upon me? You may ask yourself that question. And I mean, it's a very good question. You may say, but why did the Lord call me? Why did he show me the grace of salvation? The grace of deliverance from my sin? Why did he show favor to me? Yet there were people around me of far better caliber, humanly speaking. And it seemed like grace bypassed them. Because this is sovereign grace. This is God working according to his sovereign purpose. He chooses. And nobody can enter into the counsel of why he chose and why he didn't choose. But in his wisdom, he bestows grace where he desires to bestow grace. And that's why you find the very first time you find the word grace in the Bible is in the days of Noah. It says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Yeah, and we're living in the day as it was in the days of Noah. So we're living in a similar sort of a time. That right at the end of the age, when there was so much darkness and all of that, God looked down and there was a man and his family who found favor in the eyes of God. So God came down to them because they had found grace in his eyes. For whatever reason that it was, God came down with a message of grace. God came down to bestow favor upon them. God came down to deliver them, to save them, to give them exactly what they needed because they had a great need. And God wanted to provide their needs. And whenever God provides your needs, it's an act of grace. If you look inside of your life, if God ever healed you, you've been visited by grace. If God delivered you from your sin, you're a recipient of grace. God has bestowed his grace upon you. In whatever need, if you had a material need and you prayed and God met that need by grace. It wasn't something that you purchased from God. Wasn't something that you merited from him. You just found grace in his eyes. You just found favor in his eyes. That's why these two things, love and grace, they work together. And if you see God's grace continually inside of your life, be sure you're a recipient of his love. God has set his heart upon you. And when love projects, grace starts to manifest inside of your life. Now, what exactly is grace? Grace, if the prophet, if you take what he's saying and you just bring it in terms, grace is when God sovereignly expresses his kindness or his favor to somebody. When God comes and he manifests his favor to you in some way, you can look and say, but surely God has blessed me with his grace. It's when love projects to you and something manifests itself and God shows in that manifestation that you have found favor in his eyes. And you'll be like Ruth when Boaz spoke so kindly to her in the field and she'll say, you know, but why did I find such favor in your eyes seeing I am but a stranger? That's why the man sang the song Amazing Grace, because it's amazing to us. To say, but Lord, why have you bestowed, why have I found favor in your eyes like this? That you should set your affection upon me. And friends, that's a wonderful thing, grace. And right at the beginning of the New Testament, when Mary was there, just a young girl, and then the angel came down to her and said, fear not, Mary, because you have found favor. That's grace, the same word. You have found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know, she might have looked at herself and said, but why me? You know? But for some reason, there was something that God sovereignly desired to bestow upon her, this greatest of blessings. So God came down to her with a message of grace, sent an angel to her with a message of grace and told her that you will bring forth grace in your day because Jesus is the personification of grace. If you want to know the perfect expression of grace, it's Jesus. When Jesus was born, his entire life, his purpose, his redemptive purpose, Jesus is the person of grace. And Mary was to bring forth grace. That was the purpose. But God says, you have found favor in my eyes. You have found grace. And that's how God sent her the message of grace. And the message of grace started to work inside of her once again. Because the next thing about grace always, when it comes, it never leaves you the same. Grace comes with the power of transformation every time. You know, if you're sick and God comes and, you know, love is projected and he comes and visits you, he transforms your situation. He comes and he meets you in your point of need and he comes and transforms the circumstances that you're in. If you like there, the widow woman sitting in the cruse of oil and the barrel of meal about to finish, God sent grace in the person of Elijah to her with a message of grace to tell her, fear not, for thus saith the Lord. She had found favor in the eyes of the Lord. She was a recipient of grace. And grace will never leave you in the same condition that it found you. Grace will always do something for you. When grace visits you, it always leaves a blessing behind. It always transforms. It always changes. It always does something. Because grace is God's love in action. That's what it is. When God projects his love and love now acts and love starts to work the desire that God has inside of his heart through his kindness, his goodness, his sovereign grace. That's what it is. It's love in action. It starts to manifest itself. And you start to see the manifestation of God's favor in different things inside of your life. But God is sovereign. You know, He's the one who gives grace. This isn't something which has got anything human in it. Grace is a dynamic force. Grace isn't something which is just idle. When grace comes your way, it's a dynamic force. It's life in grace. It's a wonderful thing, grace. That's why the prophet says, if you had to summarize my life, it's all grace. That's what he says. Because it's grace that saves you in the beginning. And it's grace that keeps you saved to the end. It's not going to be works, friends. It's going to get us there. It's going to be grace. Because the Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith. And this not of yourself. It's a gift of God. It's not something that you can merit. It's not something you can deserve. It's not something you can manufacture. Not like Simon the sorcerer when he saw the apostles laying hands on the disciples and they received the Holy Ghost, which is the spirit of grace. And then he wanted to buy that same gift with money. Friends, you can't buy God's grace. But God's grace isn't cheap grace. Because for God to bestow grace upon us, it cost him a supreme price. For God to redeem us, it cost us the supreme price. The blood of God himself. So grace, when it comes to us, it was purchased for us at such a supreme price. But grace is freely bestowed upon all that believe. That's what the song says. It says, grace, grace, God's grace, freely bestowed upon all who believe. So there's something really wonderful about this principle of grace. That's how the prophet says, he says, when you get there that day, he says, go down the little trail. You'll find a little log cabin around the hill beyond the curtain of time. He says, and you'll hear somebody singing Amazing Grace. He says, and then you'll know, Brother Branham, he made it. Brother Branham says, you have to summarize all that I am in those words, that word grace. Because it's grace that taught my heart to fear. So even when we're dead in sin and trespasses, if grace didn't pass your way, you die in sin and trespasses. But it's grace that comes and shows you your need. That was grace. And then the same grace comes and provides the need when you acknowledge your need. So it's grace that taught my heart to fear. And the same grace will lead you home. It's the same grace, friends. The same grace that found you where you were. The same grace that brought the message of grace to you. The same grace that brought the power of transformation to deliver you from sin and trespasses is the same grace that's keeping you day by day. That when you get discouraged and you think you can't go on anymore, then all of a sudden there comes a divine visitation of God's kindness and His goodness. There comes some sort of a dynamic force. There comes some sort of a divine virtue. Something comes and ministers to you in the point of need. That's grace. That's God's grace. Because God, if He sets His love upon you, He's going to get you home. And that's why He'll always meet you in your point of need. Grace will meet you where you are. And to any believer who's here today, you can look back to multitudes of examples inside of your life. When you got yourself in a situation and grace came and got you out. Then you got yourself to a situation you didn't know what to do, you didn't know where to go. Grace came and made a way. The song says, God will make a way when there seems to be no way. That's God's grace. And you'll ask yourself, but why did the Lord do it for me? Because you found grace in His eyes. That's what it is. You have found grace in His eyes. Why did God bring us to the message? Why did God bring the message to us? Because we found grace in His eyes. I don't understand that. It's amazing grace. It's marvelous grace, freely bestowed upon all who believe. And God has granted us this grace. That's why grace and love, they work together hand in hand. When God loves, He shows grace. When God looks down at you and He feels for you in your situation, this is God's favor. This is God's kindness. Because God is gracious. That's His nature. The Bible calls God the God of grace. Seated on the throne of grace. Friends, God is grace just as much as God is love. But grace is the expression of God's love. When divine love is projected, sovereign grace steps out and meets the need every single time. So whatever you're needing today, it's not going to be your merits that are going to get it. It's going to be God's grace. It's going to be God's grace that's going to change your situation, that's going to meet your need. Because God works in our lives completely by grace. The prophet speaks of Brother Crowell, that brother that was very sick. You know, and he had whatever it was, a kidney problem, and he went to the doctors, it got worse, and then he thought, let me go, I get somebody to pray for me. And he went to Oral Roberts, because he was friends with Oral Roberts. And he said, Brother Roberts, I'm so sick, I've got this disease. Oral Roberts says, no problem. Brother Crowell says, he laid hands upon me, and I felt a lot better. Things eased up for a few days, and then the pain came back again. So I went back at dinner with Brother Oral once again. He says, no problem, let me pray for you once again. He prayed for him. It was better for a few days, it got worse. So Brother Crowell thought, let me go and stand before the prophet. And maybe the Lord will come down and reveal why I'm not being healed. And Brother Crowell came to Brother Branham, and this is in the message, When Love is Projected. And Brother Branham says, I prayed for him, but he was no different. I stood by him for 45 minutes, almost one day, he and his lovely wife, to see if the Lord would speak in a vision, to say something to him. But nothing happened. And then finally at the hospital, when the doctors had given him not much hope of ever seeing him come through the operation, the Lord came down at the end of his road. And he said, God, just bathe me in his beauty. The prophet says, when love has been projected, then it's time for sovereign grace to step in. So when God projects his love, or you project God's love, divine love, grace is always going to step in, friends. Whenever love is projected, given an opportunity to project itself, what is going to result? Is going to result in grace. Divine grace, sovereign grace. The prophet says when love has been projected, it's time for sovereign grace to step in. It'll do it every time, he says. Every single time. Divine love projects, grace is the result. And every single time grace is given an opportunity to manifest himself, it leaves your situation transformed. It'll never leave you the same, because the power of transformation is the power of grace. It comes your way when grace visits you. There's a transformation. Something's going to change. You will never be the same. That's how you can tell people that are really, really have found grace in the eyes of God. Because once you taste the grace of God, once grace really visits you, you'll never want to go back to those old things again. When grace comes and delivers you from the prison house, you never want to go into the prison house once again. When grace comes and delivers you from the pig pen, eating with the pigs like a prodigal son, you'll never want to go back to the pig pen again. You'll want to go to your father's house. Because you know there's grace in my father's house. Grace, once you've tasted grace, you'll never be satisfied with the world once again. That's why, friends, we can't scare people into the kingdom. We can't threaten people into the kingdom. The only thing we really desire, let them taste of grace. Because once you've tasted of grace, you'll never be the same. Because it's grace that changes you. It's grace that keeps you. It's grace that guides us home. It's the same grace. Because we are children of, recipients of God's grace. We found favor in his eyes. Now, I read a story some time back. It was a real and true story of these two very famous ministers in England, maybe 150 years ago. And one of them, he had orphanages, just to show what is the meaning of grace. I really thought it was quite a good expression of what grace really is. And this minister in his church, he used to look after a lot of orphans. And this other minister got up in the pulpit the one week. He was very famous in London, and he preached. And he started to speak about the orphans that were in the other brother's church, in the church house. But he said, you know, those orphans, when Brother so-and-so takes those orphans, they're in such a terrible condition. And somehow it didn't get reported that way back to the other minister. And the other minister heard that this minister was saying that your orphanages are in such a poor condition. And the other minister, being a little bit hot-blooded, he came to the pulpit the following week and blasted that other minister. And said, how can he say that our orphanages are in such a bad condition? When the other minister heard that he had been blasted from the pulpit, he came to his pulpit the next week and he said, saints, there's been a misunderstanding here. But I think the best thing that we can do, let's take a contribution for those orphanages. Amen. And it so moved the saints that you empty the collection plate three times that Sunday. And then they sent that gift now to the other minister who had blasted them. And that minister, being a man of God, when he realized he had misunderstood the situation, he came, and the other minister was sitting in his study, heard the knock on the door, and this minister came in and said, "Brother, I'm really sorry." And he said, "You've really demonstrated grace to me. Because you gave me what I needed. You didn't give me what I deserved." And that's what grace is. Grace gives you what you need. It doesn't give you what you deserve. Friends, because you and I deserve nothing. Many times. But grace doesn't look at the situation that you're in. Grace looks at your need. That's why the song says he looked beyond what? My faults, and he saw my need. That's what grace does every time. Grace will look in your situation. If we have the spirit of grace, we'll look at somebody else, and instead of seeing their faults, instead of giving them what they deserve, we'd rather grace will move us. If love projects, let me give him what he needs. Let me give her what she needs. To our children, to our friends, to our workmates and so forth. Friends, grace is looking to meet the need. That's how grace is satisfied, is when grace can meet the need. That's why God doesn't look at all these other things. God looks down and says, "Okay, what do you need?" And grace comes down and meets you and provides your need. That's really what it is. And I said, that's the truth. That is exactly what grace does. If we had to get what we deserved, we would have been lost. But grace came down and gave us what we needed. We needed salvation. We needed forgiveness. We needed patience. We needed understanding. We needed to be washed and cleaned in the blood. We needed to be encouraged. We needed to be strengthened. We needed to be edified. We needed to be guided and instructed. We needed to be protected. All these things that the Lord does for us, it wasn't what we deserved. But grace came down and gave us exactly what we needed. And that's why if you look inside of your life, your Christian life, if you're a believer, is the product of grace. It's not the product that I did this, that, and the other. Those things are all fine. Those things help create an atmosphere that grace can work within. But if you really look at yourself, like Paul said, he says, "I am what I am by the grace of God." And that's the same as any believer would say, "I am what I am by the grace of God." It's the grace of God that took me from what I am, what I was, and has made me what I am. And it's the same grace that's going to make me what I should be. That's how God works inside of our life. That's the power of grace, friends. It's the power of grace. There's nothing which has such a transforming quality as God's grace. That's why if God sends you a message of grace, there's the power of transformation in the message of grace. And for us, friends, even just to be recipients of the message of the hour, friends, it's grace. It's great grace. And that's how the prophet preached the message on the message of grace. Now, the prophet says it in the message, hear ye him. He says, it's grace is what brings us to God. So right from the beginning, no man can come unto me unless my Father draws him first. Even for you to desire forgiveness for your sin. Even for you to come to recognition that you needed a Savior. Even for that first step coming to the altar, repenting of your sin. It was grace that brings us to God. It wasn't what we deserved. It wasn't what we merited. But grace came and gave us what we needed. And grace came and brought us and ministered to us and started to influence us and transform us. And always when grace comes, it has a certain characteristic. When grace visits you, you'll stop looking at yourself and you'll start looking at him. That's what grace does every time. Grace stops you looking at self and it makes you look at him. He's the solution. And that's what grace does. It comes and it convinces you and it persuades you. And it shows, yes, you are a sinner, but I'm your Savior. Yes, you have a need, but I am the answer. Grace doesn't just leave you there with lots of questions. Grace will come and show you a need, and then grace will come and persuade you that it's the answer to the very need that it showed you that you have. And that's why grace, friends, God's dealings with us. That's what the Bible says. It's God who works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Even the desire to please God is God's grace in your life. And then when you have the desire, he puts the desire in you, then he comes with his grace and gives you the power to be able to perform that desire. That's why, friends, the work of redemption is completely a work of grace. And all you and I have got to do is cooperate with God's grace. submit ourselves to His grace. Allow His grace to have its wonderful way. Get ourselves out the way and wonderful things will take place, friends. Because that's what grace wants, is to express itself, is to manifest itself. So we're also kept by the grace of God. You're saved by grace. And then you kept saved by grace. That's what it is. God is the one who saved you, and God is the one who's going to keep you saved right to the end. And whenever the devil thinks that he's got you, if you're just sincere, grace is going to meet you in your point of need. You're going to get to the Red Sea. Was it their merits that opened the Red Sea? It was the grace of God. Was it their merits that brought manna from heaven? It was the grace of God. Because they found favor in the eyes of the Lord. That was sovereign grace that ministered to their needs every step of the way. And it's the same as you and I. He has promised to meet all of our needs according to His riches of glory in Christ Jesus. That's what He promised. He says, my God shall meet all your needs. Provide all your needs. Your needs. Grace will always meet your needs. Maybe not all your desires, but grace will never leave you. If you are a son or daughter of God, grace will meet you in your point of need. And if you can just accept grace for what it is, God can do wonderful things for you. That's why God's grace, it's like God's favor is like a diamond with all these different facets. You think of God's favor. There's revelation in God's favor. God reveals Himself. Yeah? There's protection in God's favor. God is our protector. The Lord is my shepherd. There's provision in God's favor. There's healing in His favor. There's instruction. There's correction. Whatever need that you have, this great diamond of grace that has so many facets, it's the many-faceted favor of God. And whatever your need is, God wants to express His favor into that need. God wants to show you that you found favor in His eyes as well, that you found grace in His sight. And like I say, any believer could come and stand here the whole night and testify of the grace of God in their life. If you just get yourself soft before the Lord and you start to look back, you can go and write a book of acts of your own life, the acts of grace inside of your life, what God has done for you, what God has done in you, and what God has done through you. That's the works of grace that God has bestowed upon us. Look in Hebrews 4 verse 16 where we were. Grace is God's perfectly timed divine assistance. God knows how to perfectly time things to show you grace. Sometimes He lets it go really, really far, but grace will always step in. You'll see it, like with Brother Krauss, whatever his name was. Right at the end when the doctor said there's only a 2% chance. And then he says, Lord, but I love you. I commit my hands to you. And he went into that operation. And the doctors afterwards said there was something more than man in that operating theater. And when he woke up, the room was filled with, bathed with the glory of God. And the prophet says, God sometimes lets it go far. But then grace meets you right in your point of need. It's always like that. Look in Hebrews 4 verse 16, that scripture, because it says it here. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. It's a throne of grace. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So it comes just when you need it. Just in the way that you need it. Because this is sovereign grace. This is divine grace. This is God's divine solution to whatever situation you and I have. Grace will step in with that solution. If we will recognize and discern it as such. Because many times we're recipients of grace and we don't realize it. We don't recognize it. I was listening the other day, I was with Brother James, who was fixing the car. And he said he had listened to a certain message of a brother preaching. And that's where I got this thought to go and study about grace. And he says this brother was preaching and he was speaking about Jacob. And he says the prophet says that Jacob was one of the foundations of the masterpiece. We know there was Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And the prophet says Abraham was faith, Isaac was love, Jacob was grace, and Joseph was perfection. And then that brother was saying, and I like that thought, and that's where I got this thought from today. Got into the issue of grace. He says, Jacob was grace. But it took Jacob a long time to realize the grace of God. God had said, Jacob, before the foundation of the world, Esau, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And when God loves somebody, it's going to project His grace. And he received the blessing, he received the birthright, he received deliverance from his brother. He saw the angels ascending and descending. All the things that took place when Laban tried to cheat him with his wages, changing his wages, God prospered, whatever Jacob did. But Jacob still didn't recognize that he was a child of grace. He didn't recognize for many years inside of his life that he was a recipient of God's grace. That God had set his affection upon this man. That God said, Jacob, you are grace. You have found favor in my eyes. And he says, that brother said when he was preaching, says Jacob was that kind of a guy, always wanting to do a deal. That's why even when he saw the Lord at the top of the Jacob's ladder that time, and he woke up in the morning and he anointed the pillar, he says, Lord, if you will keep me in the way that I go, and if you will bring me back safely, then I'll pay you 1/10 of what I've got. And that brother was saying, you know, Jacob, he had that kind of a nature. He was always trying to bargain, always trying to deal in that kind of way. You can't do that with God's grace. God's grace is sovereign. You don't have to make pledges and promises to God for God to bestow grace upon you. This is sovereign grace, which is a result of divine love. The prophet says this is elective love. The proof of God's grace is shown by what? By election. That He chooses you. That's the proof. He chooses you unto salvation and sanctification of the truth. The prophet says in the Church Age book. He says that's the proof of God's love. He said God chooses you. And God transforms you. And God visits you. But sometimes it takes us a long time in our life to really realize and say, but Lord, I've got your grace in my life. I'm a child of grace. I'm a product of grace. I'm under a message of grace. In a covenant of grace. I have right to come before the throne of grace to speak to the God of grace. Now sometimes we continue to look at it like Jacob did, thinking we've got to do this and we've got to do that, and then God will have favor upon us. Friends, God had favor upon Jacob before the foundation of the world. And God had favor upon his bride before the foundation of the world. Before either child was born, God already by election says, I've loved Jacob. There was just something that God loved. And it's the same as you and I, friends. Otherwise, how can you explain your life? How can you explain God's visitations to you? How can you explain that He brought you to the message of the hour? How can you explain, no matter what it is that the devil tries to do, every step of the way, God comes and meets you at your point of need. And you find grace to help in time of need, just at that time. And many times, like David, you'll think, my feet had almost slipped. I was envying the wicked in their ways when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And then he says, and then I went down to the house of the Lord, and then I understood their end. Oh Lord, I've been foolish like a beast, for their feet are in slippery places. We know David in Psalm 73, whatever it is. But friends, how many times have you and I come to those situations? What is it that came and transformed that situation and brought you back in line? What is it that raised you up once again from your ash heap? It was grace. It was God's sovereign divine favor coming to visit you in your point of need. Coming exactly where you are, not giving you what you deserved at that time, but God came and met your need. He ministered directly and divinely and sovereignly to your need that you had. That's God's grace. And friends, it's a good thing for us to stop once in a while in our lives and review. Look back in your spiritual diary, spiritually speaking, and go and look at what God has done for you. Because so many times we look in and say, but God hasn't done this for me, and God hasn't done that. And this prayer hasn't yet been answered, but we sang the song, count your blessings. Count them one by one, friend. And you will see what God has done. That it's been God's grace that we are truly today, without exaggerating in any way, we are absolutely children of grace. We are absolutely recipients of God's sovereign grace in the end time. That's who we are. We're the children of grace. We're the product of grace. Under a message of grace. And we can come boldly to a throne of grace. Of unmerited favor. Friends, what a privilege it is that God has given us. And that grace comes to us just when we need it. In your time of need, you will find grace, Paul says, from the throne of grace. God will come and minister to you exactly in your time of need. and minister exactly what you need at that time, if you can recognize it as such. In Acts chapter 11, verse 23, if you can put it up for us there, please, sister. We can see the grace of God. Do you know that you can see the grace of God? The Bible tells us that in verse 23, book of Acts. This is when Barnabas came to the church in Antioch. It says in Acts 11, 23, it says, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all. He came to the believers and he saw the grace of God. He saw these people are transformed. These people are children of grace. He saw the grace of God. Friends, don't you want people to see the grace of God? Would it not be wonderful that someone could look at you and say, that's the grace of God. Look what God has done. Like the song says, and count your blessings, see what God has done. But he came and he saw the grace of God. And the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 14, if you can put it, sister, we know the verse very well, but look what it says about the person of grace himself, the Lord Jesus, when he was born. John 1, verse 14. It says, and the Word was made flesh, yeah? John 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When Jesus came, he was full of grace and truth. When the Word is made flesh, it's full of grace and truth. It's a message of grace. Jesus was the full message of grace. He was the seven seals in a man that was sealed up in an earthen vessel. He is God's grace. He is God's plan of redemption made flesh. And we were in him. But when he came, it says we beheld the glory, his glory, full of grace and truth. Yeah, you know, that's what maybe I was going to think to speak of it on Sunday, that it's not enough just to have truth, friends. You've got to have grace and truth. Because truth can be a deadly weapon. Truth can be a sharp two-edged sword. But once you have grace and truth in your life, friends, something good is going to happen. Something good is going to work in that kind of an environment. When somebody comes full of grace and truth, my, wouldn't you want to be full of grace and truth? That's the Word made flesh. Full of grace and truth, the message of grace, full of grace and full of truth. So Jesus is the personification, is grace made flesh, full grace. We see him. And what a difference he made in our lives. There's another song that says, what a difference he's made in my life. Yeah, when Jesus was manifest, he changed the world. He introduced God's grace to the world. He was the channel of God's grace to bring the power of transformation to the sons and daughters of God. And the world has never been the same. And that's why when you look on the calendar, 2015 AD, ever since he was born. Because grace was born then. Grace and truth was born into the earth in the form of Jesus Christ. But friends, he was the fullness of grace and truth. And those who accepted him, they received power to become sons of God. So when grace is expressed, when grace is presented to you, when grace is made visible to you, and you accept it, you receive the benefits of that grace. Now, grace is still personified now. In every single one of our lives, God sends us grace in flesh. God sends us people who are the personification of grace. He gives us brothers. He gives us sisters. He gives us people who encourage us, people who preach us, people who pray for us. But sometimes we don't see that as being God's grace. We don't recognize that. But friends, God's grace, this manifold grace of God, many times grace comes down in that kind of a form. Grace. Like I said, Elijah, he was God's grace to the widow woman. And the widow woman was God's grace to Elijah. That was God's provision for that day under the message of grace. Elijah was God's grace. When God looked down upon that woman and said, she's found favor in my eyes, I want to express grace to her. What did he do? He sent her Elijah. Elijah was God's grace. And he came anointed with the spirit of grace. And he came and he preached a message of grace. And that message of grace ministered exactly to her in her time of need. And gave exactly what she needed. But the vast majority of people at that time, they didn't speak well of Elijah. So they never received that grace. Can you see what it's like, friends? Every divine gift is God's grace to you. Every divine gift. It can be your mother, your father, can be God's grace to you. I wish my mother and father had been believers. We wouldn't have got ourselves involved in a lot of things that we did. We wouldn't have got ourselves exposed to a lot of things that you wish you hadn't have been exposed to when you were young. Now, to have godly parents full of grace and truth is God's grace to you. But so many times we don't see it like that. Now, we're expecting some other kind of grace to come like an angel from heaven. But sometimes the grace is nearer by you than you would think. You'll find you'll have people in your life that God puts. And sometimes you won't speak to them for some time. And just at a certain time when you need a certain ministration of grace, you get a phone call out of the blue. And that person just thought of you at that time. Amen. And you find that's God's grace to you. Amen. That's God's favor being expressed and manifest to you. Amen. If you can recognize and accept it as such. Now Joseph was God's grace to his brethren. But they didn't recognize him as such. At first, they didn't realize that this was God's provision for their great need. That God had stored up in this young man a gift, a calling, a potential in Joseph to minister to the great hour of need that was coming. But those people, they never saw, his brothers never saw him as that. And they got rid of him. But when Joseph went down to Egypt, the people there recognized this was God's grace. This was God's favor visiting them in Joseph. And that's why in Potiphar's house was blessed. Why? Because he accepted what Joseph was. That this is the grace of the gods, maybe he thought, being a heathen. And then in the prison, and then finally Joseph was accepted by the Gentiles. He was God's grace to the Gentiles in that day. Zaphnath Pioneer. And what did he do? He stored up granaries full of grace for the people. He made these great granaries and he stored up grace for the future. And here was Jacob and his brethren not realizing they were recipients of God's grace. That God was storing up food for them, which they were going to need in the famine. That was God's favor and God's grace. And God had sent Joseph before them as a God's grace, his provision to meet the need and to deliver them. But friends, at first they never recognized that. They never recognized who the Zaphnath pioneer really was. And it's the same in this age, friends. People don't recognize who our Zaphnath pioneer, the revealer of secrets, is. They don't realize this message. They don't recognize the stored up food that God has left for us. When the prophet was told, go and store up the food. People don't realize it, friends. But as we get nearer and nearer the end, as the famine sets in more and more and more, we're going to see just how much we're the children of grace. Because he comes and he ministers to us right in the point of need, timely help. Well-timed help to come and minister exactly to your need. And that's why I'll see the third pull is nothing but supreme grace. It's the fullness of the Spirit of grace. Ministering to his children in the supreme hour of need. Friends, that's who we are. The same grace that saved you. The same grace that has kept you. It's the same grace, friends. It's going to keep manifesting itself right to the end. And as the needs get greater, grace will just manifest itself in a greater way. That's the truth. And you know it yourself as a believer. I could testify many times that I was healed. I remember once being so sick. I woke up in the morning. I had such a busy day that day, and I woke up so sick. I had such a pain in my back and my shoulder that I don't know if anybody's ever had a pain before that's so painful that you almost physically are sick. It was so painful. It was about 3-4 in the morning, and I couldn't even move. And I had a very important day at work the next day, and I couldn't even move. And if I moved, the pain was so severe. I thought, what am I supposed to do? I was living with my brother. I said, maybe I should ask my brother to take me to the hospital. Finally, I just lay and I managed to wait until about 6 o'clock. I got up. I couldn't move my arm. If I just moved my arm, the pain was so intense. Went to take a shower with one hand. I got in the car driving with one hand. And I put in a message. And I remember it so clearly. I was driving over the hill of Belfast, going the back way to the airport road. And something was said on the message about the third pull. And just when that was said, the grace of God came in the car. It was just the glory of God just came in the car. And I just broke down crying. I had to pull the car over to the side of the road. And I was, well, perfectly healed. And I saw that. I said, Lord. And I remember preaching that weekend. And the message I took was a need and an anointing. Because God will always send an anointing to meet your need. God will always come because He's the one who comes at the time of need for whatever you have. And that's the truth, friends. We don't realize just how much we're recipients of God's grace. You know, there's so many different examples in the Bible that you'll find like that. That Jacob and his sons, they didn't recognize who Joseph really was. But one day, those seals were opened to them. And Joseph was revealed to them. And then they had a full understanding of God's program of grace. God's plan of grace towards them. And then Jacob realized, God does all things well. God had provided for our need even before we knew that there was a need that needed to be provided for. That's what God did in the person of Joseph. And Israel in the same situation now. Israel, the grace of God is still upon them. The prophet says just as much as Joseph when his brothers didn't recognize him, he ministered to their needs. He put the money back in the sacks. He gave them twice as much as they bought. He would bless them. But they didn't recognize who he was. The prophet says, Jesus still goes to the Jews. He heals their sick. He fights for them in their wars. But they don't recognize who he is. But one of these days under their seventh trumpet, because the seventh seal to us is the seventh trumpet to them. Moses and Elijah are going to come. And that their eyes are going to be opened. They're going to recognize the person of grace. They're going to recognize God's grace to them. But at this time, their eyes are withholden. But God's grace is still upon them. And friends, you can sometimes go a long time inside of your life and God will be doing so much for you and delivering you and revealing himself and watching over you and you don't realize that you're really a child of God's grace. That you found favor in the eyes of God. Amen. And it's good just to look back and to really appreciate the things that he does. Hallelujah. Now let's have a look at benefiting from this grace as we had come to a close. Now if you really want to benefit from grace, well, there's certain things you can do, even just speaking about the way that God expresses his manifold grace. You know, to Rahab, those two spies were absolutely God's grace. That was God's grace for those two young men to come anointed that day with that anointing that they had. And for God to, you know, the footsteps of the righteous are governed by the Lord, yeah? Or ordered by the Lord. For God to order their footsteps to that place at that time. Was because there was God's love was being projected, because there was a soul that was seeking some way out, was seeking some way of deliverance. And she, the greatest thing that she did inside of her life for herself and her family was to recognize the importance of those two young men. That was the greatest thing that she did. The Bible says by faith, Rahab, because she received them with peace. She received them with shalom. She made them feel at home. She made them feel welcome. She made an atmosphere and grace ministered to her in that atmosphere. And grace ministered to her family in that atmosphere. And God came with the power of transformation and changed that situation from death unto life through the token. That was God's grace when she was told to put the scarlet thread in her window. Friends, sometimes we don't realize that we're God's grace to each other. No, you God's grace to me and I'm God's grace to you. But you'll never benefit from it unless we recognize that. Sometimes we just look at, it's just brother so-and-so, it's just sister so-and-so. She may be the very one that God's going to use to encourage and strengthen and help you just at the point when you're about to go back to the world. That God has chosen that person to be the vessel of honor that God is going to minister grace to you in your time of need. That's how we need each other, friends. We don't realize that. But Rahab, she recognized these two young men, they're God's grace to me. God came visibly in the form of those two young men. Now, if you really want to benefit from this grace, there's a few things that it speaks about your attitude. Our attitude is very important if we want to really fully benefit from God's grace inside of our lives. Let's look at James 4, verse 6. In order for grace to express itself fully, it needs the right conditions. James 4, verse 6. Now, it's a gracious verse because it says, but he gives more grace. Who here needs more grace? God gives more grace. But it says, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. God gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud. Those people are self-sufficient, self-dependent. They don't need anybody. I know what I'm doing. I don't need anyone to help me. God resists you. God wages warfare against that attitude inside of your life. When you think you can do it, I don't need anybody to help me. I know what I'm doing. God resists the proud. But God gives grace to the humble. God cannot resist a humble heart. A broken heart and a contrite spirit, God will never despise. Every single time your heart gets in that condition, grace is going to visit you. Every time. It'll never fail. Because God always gives grace to the humble. To the humble. It's such an important principle. One man once says that humility is the only soil in which grace can take root. It's a fertile ground in your heart when you've got humility. And grace can come down and express itself and put down its roots and bring forth its fruits when you keep yourself in that kind of a humble condition. But God resists the proud, the arrogant. Remember in the message, a guide, when the prophet spoke of it, when he was self-dependent and he thought, I'm a guide, I can't get lost. And God had to put him in a great time of need to humble him from that. And brought the mist down, and he was on the death walk, and he was going around, kept coming back to his game. But grace was still upon him. And the Lord was saying, I'm an ever-present help in a time of need. But the prophet says, I know what I'm doing. I can't get lost. He says, and then my heart started to fear, and I started to try to convince myself. And he says, until finally I realized, oh Lord, I'm not a guide. You're the guide. And the moment he got down on his knees and he took off his hat and he humbled himself before the Lord, grace manifested itself. And he says, and I got up from there and I said, okay, well, look, I'm going to have to go this direction. He says, I would have walked straight into Canada. He says, but as I started to walk, a hand came on my shoulder. And I turned around and I looked and the clouds had cleared back through that mist for several miles and I saw Hurricane Mountain. Hallelujah. Friends, that was God's grace. Amen. But God gives grace to the humble. That's when you will humble yourself and say, but I need help. I need God's grace. Lord, I need direction. I need wisdom. I don't know the next step to take. I don't know what it is that you expect me to do. Lord, show me what it is. God gives grace to the humble, friends, every single time. The prophet, when he preaches influence, he says, those angels cover their feet. He says, that's humility. And he says, like when the Lord said to Moses, take off your shoes. Taking off your shoes was a sign of humility. That's how when God's grace came down, when he heard the cries of his people and love wanted to be projected, and God wanted to send Moses down so that the grace of God could be manifest and God's favor could be shown to Israel, they could be delivered and brought to the promised land. And the voice started to speak to Moses. What did the voice say? Take off your shoes. Be humble, Moses. This is holy ground. And he took off his shoes. And the prophet in Message of Grace, when he saw that those three rainbows coming like down into one when he was in the woods that day, he says, and I came as close as I felt I could come. And something checked me and says, don't come any closer. He says, and I took off my shoes, thinking maybe I could go a bit closer. There's a principle there, friends. Now, you might have drawn near to the Lord. It's good. But spiritually speaking, take off your shoes tonight. Humble yourself and you'll get closer. And maybe he started speaking to you and now he's telling you, look, take off your shoes. He's not going to say anything more till you take off your shoes. And once Moses took off his shoes and humbled him, then the Lord told him more of the redemptive plan. Told him more of his purpose. Told him more of his gracious favor that Moses had found in his sight. And that God wanted to project now to the children of Israel down there. Friends, humility is the key to grace expressing itself. That's why the great enemy of grace is self-dependency, self-sufficiency. It doesn't work. We need to rid ourselves of that. It's humility that gets us through, friends. Look in 2 Corinthians, we take this as our last scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul understood this principle very well. He understood it very well. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 7. We know the story. In order for grace to continue to operate in our lives, we need to continually express our dependence to Him. We've got to keep going. We've got to become children before Him. Unless you become like little children, you cannot inherit the kingdom. And that's why God sometimes puts us in situations, put things inside of our lives that we can't change ourselves. We'll try to change them. We'll try to get ourselves out of that situation. But God is trying to bring us back to the attitude of dependency on Him. Because we become too independent. We've thought we can do it ourselves. Maybe you've been long in the Lord and you think, I don't need those things anymore, my friend. We need Him every hour. We need Him every day. We need His grace continually, friends. Now, right to the end, we're going to need His grace. And as we get closer to the end, we're going to need it more and more. And Paul was that kind of a person that he got to the stage that he didn't think that he needed this anymore. You know, he was quite an independent sort of a guy, so God gave him affliction in his eyes. And then he says it in verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So sometimes God has to put things in our lives, put us in situations like He did with David. When the prophet was sent, God's grace came to David. Because God loved him because he was a man after God's own heart. And David found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God sent Samuel down, and God rejected all the other sons, though they were good boys, and said, these aren't the ones. Is it not another boy? And they brought him up, and then the Spirit came on the prophet, and the Lord said, this is the one, anoint him. This is the one that I've chosen to be king. And they anointed David, the prophet anointed David, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him from that day. And straight away, almost in his life, after Goliath, things started to go backwards. And instead of coming to the throne, he finds himself a fugitive in the wilderness. And David, he speaks of it, and he says, there's but one step between me and death. And God kept him in that situation for quite some time. Because God wanted to teach David dependency on Him. That there was just one step between him and death. He needed every step to make sure that Jehovah was guiding that step. That every decision that he was making, that it was Jehovah that was behind that decision. Our friends, sometimes God puts us in those situations. Because He wants to bring us to that place that we'll learn the sweetest of lessons, which is to lean on Him. I'm learning to lean upon Jesus. Gaining more power than I ever dreamed because I'm learning to lean upon Jesus. But we taught in our schools and we taught by this generation, fend for yourself, be independent, think for yourself. That's a lie of the devil, friends. That might get you good education, might get you a good job. But if you want more grace, grace to manifest itself more in your life, if you want grace to be more real, you've got to become more dependent upon Him. You've got to become more humble before Him. Because that's the kind of fertile conditions that grace can express itself in, because He gives grace to the humble. But Paul was that kind of a guy. God did so much for him that he was in danger. If God didn't put this affliction upon him, he would have thought, I can do it myself. Amen. So the Lord gave him this affliction, and he says in verse 8, for this thing, if you go to the next one, verse 8, thank you. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it may depart from me. And He said unto me, what did the Lord say to him? Verse 9. My grace is sufficient for you. As long as you have my grace, don't worry about anything else. Oh, friends, is that not the case? As long as I know that His grace is upon me. Friends, even at the moment if I don't have a car, because the other car broke down as well, it doesn't matter. Because His grace is sufficient for us. It doesn't matter if you've got affliction in your body. It doesn't matter if you've got no money in the bank. It doesn't matter if you don't know your future. You don't even know what tomorrow holds for you. You don't know where you're going to be next year. As long as you are a child of grace, as long as His grace is real, is expressing itself to you, He will take care of you one step at a time. Because His grace is sufficient. As long as you want to lean on Him, His grace is going to express itself to each step of the way. That's why He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. So Paul then says, most gladly therefore, would I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And if you go to the next one, he says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Amen. And the prophet comes and preaches perfect strength by perfect weakness. And he said, you've got to master this. He says, especially you ministers, especially you that have been long in the Lord. It says you've got to master this thought of human ability, because the moment you think you can do it, grace steps out. Because grace is God's favor, which comes to meet you at your point of need. But the moment you bring yourself back to that humility and you come back to His feet and you say, Lord, I can't do it myself, then grace every time manifests itself. God shows divine favor and gives you grace to help in your time of need. Every single time. It'll never fail, friends. Never fail. It's just the attitude of your heart. That's how the prophet in perfect strength, but perfectly, he says, my little son Joseph trying to put in his coat. You know the story. And I said, Joseph, let me help you put on the coat. He says, he's a young man and he couldn't put his arm in the coat. And he was getting frustrated and he was struggling. And the prophet says, Joseph, let me help you. He says, no, daddy, I can do it myself. He says, the moment he had that attitude, I said, let him learn the lesson himself. And I stepped back. But the moment he was tired, trying to do it himself, then he says, daddy, would you help me? Then I stepped in and did what I always wanted to do. And I took his arm and I put it through the hole in the coat. And on went the coat. But the young man had to learn a lesson because he thought he could do it himself. And friends, the work of redemption, we can't do it ourselves. The spiritual walk, we can't do it ourselves. We can't guide ourselves. We can't lead ourselves. Can't deliver ourselves. Cannot do anything ourselves. We need Him to do it for us. That's how we need to lean on Him. It's His grace. It's grace that taught your heart to fear. It's grace that's going to bring you home. It's amazing grace. That's what it's going to be every step of the way. And grace is going to be there when you need it every time. If you'll just recognize it. If you'll just give it an opportunity to express itself. His grace is sufficient to us. James says He gives more grace. But He gives it to the humble. He doesn't give it to the proud. So what hinders us is the I factor. I know what I'm doing. I know the way to do it. Be careful of the I factor. That's the one that gets in the way of God and His grace. And God steps back. You're still a child of grace, but He wants to teach you a lesson. He wants to bring us back to that dependency upon Him. Because He is an ever-present help. If we can just bring ourselves back to that submission, that simplicity that we once had. And that's how when you first came to the Lord, how real His grace was. Why? Because you so much realized how much you needed His grace then. But as we go for some time, friends, we can start learning to do this and that ourselves. If you're not careful, it's you doing it. It's not God anymore. But salvation is of the Lord. That's why God wants to come down with the power of transformation. It's the power of grace to whatever situation that you and I are in. That's why Paul said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might find grace to help in time of need. And the Bible speaks of Him being the God of grace. Paul calls the gospel of the grace of God. The good news of the grace of God. That's what it is. And Jesus is the person of grace, full of grace and truth. And the message we received, the prophet said, that's the message of grace. I remember the brothers back in Zimbabwe, they were testifying to this one teacher at school, a chaplain school. And he was a white guy. I can't remember what his name was. He used to laugh really funny. I'm sure Brother George remembers his name. Mr. Williams. He was a real strange guy. But there were two brothers in the school, Brother William and Brother Patrick, and they were testifying the message to him. And they went to visit him, and then he came to visit The pastor, Pastor Mandu, who used to live not far from us, he was the pastor of Brother Patrick and Brother William. And they brought Mr. Williams along. And Mr. Williams says, no, I've heard about this message. This message is just legalism. It's just a lot of laws of do's and don'ts. So Brother Mandu had a big pile of messages, you know, the message books like that. And he said to Mr. Williams, he said, okay, let me just choose one book and show you. That's not what this message is about. And he went and he chose a message and brought it. It was called Message of Grace. Yeah. It was so powerful. The man was saying this message is legalism and he chooses Message of Grace. And friends, the moment we're seeing this message as legalism and laws of do's and don'ts, we're not in the right place with God. Because this is the message of grace. Yes, there are certain things God wants to protect us and he wants to tell us don't do this and that. That's God's grace to us. But the moment we lose the substance of grace, friends, this becomes a hard walk. This becomes a difficult way. We need to come back to the cross. We need to come back to the blood of Christ. We need to come back to to what it was in the beginning. We need to humble ourselves and say, Lord, I need more grace. And let God come and renew you once again and you'll realize that his grace has never left you. His favor has always been upon you. He's been watching over you. He's been delivering like he's doing to Israel now, though you may not have recognized that deliverance. He's been protecting you and keeping you. And sometimes when he closes doors, it's his grace. You may so much have wanted to go in a certain direction, but you find that door closes in your life. Many times that's grace. Because he's the one who closes doors and no man can open. And he's the one who opens doors and no man can shut. And that's just as much a manifestation of grace. But if you get yourself close to him again, sit at his feet, take off your shoes, maybe he'll speak to you and start to explain why he's doing those things to you in your life. He'll start to make plain once again the plan of redemption that he has for you. He'll start to express his love to you. But friends, it's the way we approach him. Remember that Syrophoenician woman, the way that she came. Now, she wasn't entitled at that time to anything. And she came even out of season and came to Jesus, thou son of David. She even called him the wrong name. She wasn't entitled to call him the son of David. And the Bible says, he answered her not a word. It seemed so hard that the person of grace wouldn't answer in a time of need. And then the disciple says, chase this woman away. She's troubling us. It wasn't easy for her. But she humbled herself. And she said, Lord, help me. And then Jesus said, but it's not right for us to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. And she remained humble. And she said, truth, Lord. But the little puppies, they eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And friends, grace couldn't hold back any longer. With that kind of an attitude, with that kind of an approach, with that kind of an atmosphere in somebody's heart, grace has to express itself. And grace poured out, and Jesus says, oh woman, great is your faith. Be it unto you according to what you've said. And she went home and her daughter was healed. And friends, it's your approach, it's the atmosphere. And grace will make itself real every single time. So let's come, saints, let's stand. Let's come to a short time of prayer before we go this evening. Let's come to the throne of grace. I don't know about you, but I'd like to really come to the throne of grace. Maybe Brother Vlad could just lead us in one chorus. We've received a message of grace, friends. You know, and if we're in the Spirit, it's a message of grace. It's God's grace to us in this age. And we should really appreciate this manifestation of grace. And God sends us brothers and sisters, and he puts people in our lives. And sometimes you look at them and say, but this person's holding me back from good things. But many times that's the grace of God. When somebody's keeping you back from spoiling your life in sin, sometimes it's the grace of God, but you're not yet recognizing your Joseph that God's put inside of your life. But one day God maybe will open your eyes and unveil those seals like he did to Joseph's brethren, and you'll recognize and say, my, we didn't realize this was God's grace to us. Let it be so. Let's sing a chorus and let's come to a time of prayer before we dismiss saints.
Amazing grace. Will always be my song of praise, for it was grace that brought my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond my faults and so my needs. I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary, to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. Looked beyond my fault and saw my need. I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary, to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my
first verse again, right?
Saw my need.
Just sing the first verse again.
Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For 'twas the grace that brought my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need.
I shall forever
lift my eyes to Calvary, to view the cross where Jesus died for me.
He died for me and you.
How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need.
I shall forever
lift my eyes to Calvary, to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my thoughts and saw my need. I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary, to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need.
He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. Aren't you glad that he looked beyond your faults and saw your needs, friends? Aren't you glad that he didn't give you what you deserve, but he's given you what you need? And that's the same grace that's still available to you and I today. Why don't we come to the throne of grace, where we might find grace to help in time of need? Let's just submit ourselves to him a little bit before the Lord. Whatever your need before the Lord, whatever your desire that you have, let's all pray. Let's all put ourselves before the Lord. Let's appreciate what grace has already done for us. Let's appreciate what grace continues to do for us. And let's thank him in advance for what grace is going to do for us. Because this grace never changes, friends. It's amazing grace. And how sweet the sound. Let's all come to a time of prayer. Father, to thank you, Lord, upon this evening, Lord, that grace, Father, Lord, it's grace, grace, God's grace. Thank you, Father, for grace that is freely bestowed to all them that believe.
Father, Lord, we need you, Lord, Savior, for us to be here tonight. Lord, is our meditation. Lord, Father, to God, Savior, Lord, we need to put our
Just ask Brother Max if he wouldn't mind come to close for us in prayer. Let's sing that chorus once again. I will forever lift my eyes to Calvary.
Forever lift my eyes to Calvary, to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that brought my falling soul my faults and so my ears.
Yes, Lord.
Our dear Heavenly Father.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
We thank you this evening.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, grace.
Amen, Lord.
Brought us from our various homes.
Amen, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes,
grace Lord. Granted us, Lord, many mercies.
Amen, Lord.
And while we came, grace opened the doors.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
And Lord Jesus, from your pulpit, Lord, grace opened your word.
Hallelujah.
Father, we say thank you, God.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
The Lord, grace, where could we have found it, Lord?
Amen. Yes.
Even as your word has said, we can never buy grace, Lord.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
But Lord Jesus, you looked from your glory.
Yes,
and
Lord.
You saw our condition.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
And the Lord, your divine love, O Lord, projected.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And
yes,
sovereign
Lord.
Grace, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Stepped in, O Lord.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
To bring us out, O Lord, from our dirty places, Lord.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
We were lost, completely lost, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
But that grace came looking for us and
yes,
found us.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
We were blind, Lord.
Amen.
Believing things that Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Being the teachings of men.
Yes, Lord.
And traditions, Lord.
Amen, amen, amen.
But your grace, Lord Jesus, brought us, O Lord.
Amen.
Opened our eyes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, to receive this truth, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father, we say thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We Amen, bless Lord. You, Lord.
Yes, Lord. We bless
Father,
you, Lord.
Our yes, prayer
Lord.
Is the Lord
yes,
Jesus.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
Your grace, which we know is eternal.
Yes, Lord.
Keep us, Lord.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
We never want to go back,
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
Just like, Lord, the prodigal son.
Amen.
Received grace.
Amen.
And went back to the Father. There yes, will Lord. Never be a desire to go back to the pig pen.
Amen. Yes.
Lord, grant us that grace also.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
To recognize the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Where you have placed us.
Yes.
Lord, we will never think of going back again.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
Lord, as many.
Amen.
That are still seeking for this grace, Lord.
Amen.
Father, we lift them before you.
Lord. Amen. Yes, Lord.
Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Grant
yes,
them Lord. That humility.
Yes, Lord.
That fertile ground, O Lord
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Where Hallelujah. Your grace can take root.
Amen.
And bring the life of Christ, O God, in your children, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Father, that's our prayer.
Hallelujah. Yes,
Lord. Amazing grace.
Yes, Lord. Yes. Lord.
Grant us,
yes,
Lord.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
We thank you for this evening, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Even we know that, Lord, this same grace, there is healing in it, Lord.
Amen. Yes,
and
Lord.
That our precious sister,
yes,
Julie,
yes,
is
yes,
healed in Jesus'
Hallelujah.
Name.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Oh, as many the Lord, even as sick of God.
Yes.
Amen. We use that as a point of contact, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And claim total healing for
yes,
everyone.
Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
But that same grace, Lord, we know it gives things that, Lord, our requests are fulfilled through grace, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, you know this moment, what are in the hearts of your children. Father, they need something, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Some are looking for documents.
Amen.
Some are looking for jobs.
Yes, Lord.
Some are looking for, Lord, many things, Lord.
Amen.
To keep them going, oh Lord.
Amen.
Father, let your grace visit one another.
Please, Lord.
Let your grace visit every home, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And fulfill, Lord Jesus, as you said, you will supply our needs according to your riches in glory.
Yes, Lord.
Let that grace, Lord,
yes,
fell
Lord.
Upon
yes, Lord.
Everyone's home, Lord.
Yes, Amen. Lord.
And supply our needs, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, yes Lord, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. We thank you for your word this evening.
Yes, Lord.
It has been a blessing, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
We thank you for our pastor, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
That the same grace, Lord, will continue to anoint him, Lord.
Please, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Oh, grant him that, Lord Jesus.
Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
For the sake of your children, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We thank you for the church, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let your grace, Lord, overshadow us.
Please, Lord.
Oh, bring in, oh, Lord, the true manifestation of
Hallelujah.
The sons of God.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
That's
Lord.
Our prayer, Lord
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Let it be so.
Father, even as we live, oh God,
Amen.
We know grace will still go with us, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank
Amen.
You.
Grace that will never leave us, Lord.
Amen.
Grace that will be part of our lives, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Grant us genuine mercies, Lord.
Hallelujah.
And even, Father, let that same grace bring us back if you tarry.
Yes, Lord.
Next Sunday, oh God.
Hallelujah.
Let this grace continue, Lord.
Yes,
to
Lord.
Shower upon us
Amen.
Your blessings, Lord.
Yes,
we
Lord.
Thank you. We bless you, Lord.
Amen.
We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. We pray.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Saints, let's finish off with, let's sing that song again. I bless your name. Don't you want to bless his name this evening just as we depart? Just, you know, it was a real small testimony. It really did touch me. The brother Francois, the other day, he had an exam. I think it was on Wednesday, and he contacted me just before, and he said, brother, I'm going for an exam in about 30 minutes. He says, but I've got diarrhea, and I'm going to the toilet every 30 minutes. So I don't know what I'm going to do. I've got my exam. I said, no problem, bro. We'll pray.
Amen.
Brother, it was so nice the way that it worked. We just prayed a simple prayer. Just said, Lord, you are the God of grace. Then the next morning, I text him, how are you doing, brother? He said, brother, I haven't even been to the toilet since then. And the next day, bro, it's really a wonderful
Amen.
Thing. We really thank the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
With bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas, let's pray that night. And in their prayer, began to sing. Their chains were loosed and they were free. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you all. I give you praise. You are the light. The truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. Some midnight hour, if you should find you're in a prison in your mind, reach out and pray. Defy those chains, and they will fall in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. You are the light.
You are
the truth and the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. So if you find that in your life, midst of times so hard,
child
by faith
to hide
and know and you'll find
you're not alone. I bless your name.
I bless your name.
I give you honor. I give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor.
I give you praise. You are the light that took away. I bless your name.
I bless your name.
I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise.